ever been stuck in one of those presentations, you know, where the speaker is telling this long, rambling story about their commute or like how their kid flushed their phone down the toilet or something, and you're just sitting there dying inside? Yeah, I think we've all experienced the pain of a bad presentation. But you, my friend, are here to be the opposite of that. You're ready to dive into these 10 tips and like completely level up your presentation game.
Totally. And the best part is, these aren't like crazy out there ideas. These are practical tips anyone can use, like even your very next presentation.
Music to my ears. No need to become a magician or anything, just solid techniques. So what's the first thing we're looking at?
It all starts with you, your energy. This source really nails it when it talks about how much your energy as the presenter sets the tone for the whole room.
Okay, so it's not just what you say, but like how you say it, right?
100%. Yeah. And you know, it can totally kill your energy.
Yeah.
Over-explaining. Tip number one actually gives this example about a presenter who just keeps rambling about being late and their sick kid. Like, we've all been there, but you gotta trust me, that's not the way to start strong.
You're kidding. I'm already cringing, picturing the awkward silence in the room. Yeah. So how do we avoid that and like project confidence from the moment we step up there?
Body language, it's huge. Tip number seven goes into this. And honestly, sometimes stillness can be your secret weapon. Think about it.
Uh-huh.
When a speaker just owns the stage without even moving, it draws you in.
So like less pacing back and forth, like I'm trying out for a one-person show.
Uh-huh, exactly. Unless that's like your signature move. But in general, yeah, maybe dial it back a bit. Think purposeful movement instead. Like what gestures can you use to really drive home a point? Or how can you, you know, use your body to create a kind of visual flow that matches your words?
Ooh, I like that. It's like we're choreographing the information or something. Yeah.
Yes. And this ties into tip number six too, which is about inviting interaction.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. Don't announce it. Like, don't be all, okay, get ready for an interactive activity.
Mm.
Let it happen naturally because you're being so engaging and, you know, owning your presence.
Ah, so it's less about forcing it and more about creating an environment where, like, participation just feels natural, like part of the conversation.
Exactly. People can always tell when you're forcing it. You want them to feel pulled in, not pushed.
Yeah.
So you've nailed the opening. You're radiating confidence.
Yeah.
Now, how do we keep that audience hooked? Because a bored audience.
Yeah.
That's a recipe for disaster.
Right. All that prep for nothing.
Exactly. So how do we keep that energy high? Asking the right questions. That's where tip number two comes in. And it's about way more than just like, what do you guys think at the end of a slide?
Thank goodness. Seriously, those generic questions never work. It's just crickets every time.
Right. You want questions that get people actually thinking.
Yeah.
And like wanting to jump into the conversation. The source mentions something called Bloom's taxonomy, which, guy, I know, sounds a little jargony. A
little bit, yeah.
But it's actually super helpful for creating questions that get people's brains working, if that makes sense.
Okay, I'm all for ditching the jargon. So break it down for us. How does this Bloom's taxonomy thing actually work in a presentation?
Okay, so let's say you're presenting like a new project management tool, right? Instead of ending with any questions, you could try something like, thinking back to our last project, how could this new tool help us avoid that whole scope creep nightmare? See how that immediately makes people connect the dots.
Ooh, I like that. It's like taking it from theory to real life, making people actually think about how it applies to them.
Exactly. It's not just about remembering facts. It's about like actually using them.
Yeah.
And that's where tips three and four come in, especially for when you've got a big group, small group discussions, and wait for it,
yeah,
Post-it notes.
Okay, yes. Love a good brainstorming session. But really, Post-it notes. Tell me more.
Think of it like we were talking about with body language. It's all about being intentional and like choreographing that participation.
Hmm.
Small groups let people have more focused discussions. And then using Post-it notes to like write down ideas, it makes all that thinking visible. It gets people energized, involved, and it makes them feel like they're actually part of the process.
Plus, who doesn't love a Post-it note, right? It's like bringing back that childhood joy.
Totally. And it plays into that whole show, don't tell idea, right? You're not just talking about ideas, you're making them real.
Mm-hmm.
But even with the most fascinating content and delivery, you have to think about how you're actually giving people that information. That's where tip number five comes in.
Okay, so we've hooked them. We've got them brainstorming up a storm.
Right.
But how do we make sure they don't like immediately forget everything as they walk out the door? What's the magic formula according to tip five? So spell it. Tip number five, what's the secret to like making sure the information actually sticks?
Okay, get ready for this because it might sound a little crazy at first, Don't hand out your handouts right away.
Wait, really? I thought handouts were like a presentation must have. Everyone loves a good handout.
Right. They are important. But they can backfire if you're not careful, because as soon as those papers are out, half your audience is suddenly laser focused on taking notes and flipping through pages.
Okay, yeah, I see what you mean. They're so busy trying to write down every word that they totally miss what you're saying.
Exactly. So instead of treating your handout like a word-for-word script of your presentation, think of it more like a helpful takeaway. Mention at the beginning that you'll share it electronically afterwards. That way people can actually be present and engaged instead of stressed about missing something.
That makes so much sense. It's all about being present in the moment. So we've covered being engaging and giving people the information they need, but how do we actually make sure those key takeaways stick in their minds?
Structure. Just like with a good story, a good presentation needs structure. And tips 9 and 10 have some great advice about that. Tip number 9 is all about summaries and mnemonics.
Woo, mnemonics. Those clever little memory tricks. Okay, I'm ready to unlock my inner memory champion.
Right. It's all about finding those memory hooks that really work. You know how a catchy jingle can get stuck in your head for days? A well-placed mnemonic can do the same thing for a key concept from your presentation.
So instead of just throwing a ton of info at people, we're giving them memorable ways to organize it in their brains. Love it.
Exactly. And then tip number 10 talks about evaluation. We've talked about engaging your audience during the presentation, but what about figuring out the impact afterwards? Forget those generic smiley face evaluations. We need to go deeper. We need to talk about Kirkpatrick's levels of evaluation.
Kirkpatrick's levels. That sounds kind of intense, like something I'd hear in grad school or something.
Don't worry. It's not as complicated as it sounds. It's really just about going beyond asking if people liked your presentation, you know? Kirkpatrick's model looks at 4 levels of impact: reaction, learning, behavior, and results.
Okay, so what does that actually look like in real life? Give me an example.
So let's say you just gave this amazing presentation on conflict resolution. Instead of asking, did you enjoy this presentation? You could try something like, think about your next conflict situation. What's one strategy from today that you could try? You see how that's way more helpful than a smiley face rating?
Right. It shows that you're invested in them actually learning and growing, not just getting through the presentation.
Exactly. And then if you really want to see the impact, you can even follow up a few weeks later and see how they're using those new skills.
So much good stuff here. One thing I'm really taking away is how powerful the right questions can be at every stage of a presentation. From that very first attention grabber to that final evaluation, it's all about those intentional questions.
100%. It's all connected.
And on that note, we have a little challenge for you, dear listener. As you think about your next presentation, what's one tip from today's deep dive that's really speaking to you? What's your game changer? We'd love to hear your thoughts. Until next time, happy presenting.